Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 596. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'd just like to say that I'm great, and nothing's bothering me. And here is a 12-page report about how nothing is bothering me.
That's very weird. You would write up 12 pages on why you're not bothered, but
I'm fine. Later. I'm good. There's nothing going on. Nothing wrong. Just 12 pages about how it's all fine.
That's what I usually do. I write out essays all the time on how great I'm doing. I send it to my friends. They think it's unhinged, but I know the truth.
And Earl is here.
Yes, for this very special podcast and a half show.
Oh, God. Wait, are we having crab during the podcast? Is that what's going on? I don't understand the reference.
Don't you understand? Tonight we dine on turtle soup.
Isn't that illegal except in like Iceland?
I don't make the rules. I just enjoy myself some fine turtle soup. Some gourmet.
Is it because turtles are dirty and gross?
Wow. I think you can get turtle soup some places. I just don't know why you'd want to.
I just know that like you have to be, if you have a turtle as a pet, you have to be careful with them around like small children because they have like salmonella.
Yeah, there's some like really common food poisoning that you get just from touching them.
Yeah,
which I think is why you don't cook them normally, unless you're really good. It's like pufferfish. Like if you don't know how to cook a pufferfish, you die.
Yeah, so you know it seems like a risk that you don't want to take.
If there's like any food where it's like if you don't cook this properly, you die. I am not cooking that food. I don't care how confident I am that I cooked it properly. It doesn't matter. I might die if I made like a tiny. I'm not taking the risk.
Yeah, like you find like a recipe on the internet, and like you might try that for like chicken, but pufferfish, right. Like I don't know.
I think we're using a plot here. My introduction, which is not a subplot, but a very turned into one. So
sorry, Earl. I've done it again.
Dun dun dun.
Oops, yes,
I did it again.
Earl's Turtles game is out.
It's everybody's Turtles game. It's the world's
true.
That's true. Anyone with Game Pass, in fact.
Yeah.
After 10 a.m. In the East Coast. Yeah, it was theirs. If you did not try to lock on as soon as it was supposed to go live, I don't know who would do such a thing, but couldn't be me.
It's going to be you?
It was not me because I started on the Switch. And then I went for the Xbox version. So yes, I bought it technically 2.5 times.
How do you buy something a half time? What is a half time?
It's Game Pass doesn't count.
Okay, like you do pay for Game Pass, but...
Yeah, I didn't buy it for Game Pass, but I did buy it for Xbox. But that is the special edition that is coming sometime this year. And then I got the Switch version by buying it via the Mexican eShop where the exchange rate made it $10. So
Olé.
That's not bad.
That is so yes, I also now have a Mexican Switch account, so there's that.
I mean, and as long as you can manipulate the currency exchange, it's probably fine.
Yeah. I mean, I don't plan on using it that often, but...
Your dog sounds like it's protesting. It doesn't believe in what you've done.
Oh, that's his business. If you want, it's dog food for him. So, I mean, I don't think that's a threat. I assume he enjoys dog food, or we've been doing a really bad job of naming stuff.
Well, that's true.
Earl, you have played it. You played it this morning. Tony, did you get a chance to play any of it?
I played it the first level because I knew this game was coming up and Earl was going to talk about it for hours. So I wanted to be able to like have an opportunity to make fun of it.
I just played it. I talk about it for hours.
Hours.
And have a well-informed conversation and just like talk about how amazing it is. And we'll be completely unbiased. So...
All right, then I'm going to start off.
Go ahead.
That's fine. I love the opening sequence.
Yeah.
Like how it calls back to like the opening of the cartoon. It's great. It really brought me back, and like video games of that era of this ilk don't do that sort of like wide open opening like that. It was great. It was just fun to watch. Like the music and the, like I love that part. I'm really really glad they put that in. The theme song, come on, they brought back a theme song.
Yeah, so I will say, especially as somebody who spent the better part of last year watching the entire series, it is weird to hear it with a different voice singing the song, but I understand how that works. It's just really jarring to hear again, just because
everyone who worked on the original show is dead because it was so long ago.
Well, that's not even true, because they actually did get back to...
What's up, bitches?
Oh,
Jeff has graced us with his presence. We thought you weren't joining tonight.
We thought you were dead.
Jeff has joined us. We are talking about Turtles, Jeff. Have you played any Turtles?
Yes, I have.
So we're kind of at the intro right now. Like deep diving this indie game,
both of the show and of the game.
I'm with Tony. Like I know that like where you are, Earl, hearing it differently, it sounds maybe a little weird in your head.
Yeah, exactly like that. I really enjoyed it, and I will say, I think to Tony's point, and you do get more of it later on in the game, I do like that it seems to have a budget, because I feel like this is the type of game that you could have easily kind of like shanked on the production. The opening animation does not do anything for the actual game other than give you nostalgia creed for people who remember the cartoon. Because the animation style in that is different than the actual game itself.
Well, it's funny because you have that opening sequence, though, and it almost makes it jarring when you get to the actual cutscenes and they're not voiced and it's silent.
They are voiced.
Like, why am I reading this? I just got this whole thing with like music and voices, and why is it like this now?
No, and that's the weird part, because some of it is voiced and some of it isn't. Because like there are cutscenes throughout the game, and some of it does have voice. And because they made a big deal about like bringing back the voice actors from the original show for a lot of the roles, because I think aside from Strider, I want to say most of them are still alive. Contrary to Tony's sarcastic point.
Question on that though. So like where are they voiced? Because that opening like scene with like April and the turtles watching the TV broadcast is all voiced. It's all like scrolls, like words coming across.
Yes, and it's super weird. But like later on, there are cuts. Again, I'm not saying it's not like it's you're not getting like Shakespeare here, but it is some of it is, and I think it's very light voice acted, and then like they're voiced throughout the games, so, like they will say stuff. But yeah, it is very jarring because you get this animated opening, it's big, it's bombastic, you got the theme song, and then you go to the first cutscene and it's like silent. So I said, you're gonna be watching TV.
It reminded me of like games like on the original PlayStation and PlayStation 2 that would have like this like super super cool intro, and it's like then the game starts and it has nothing. Like, it doesn't look anything like the game, but
You can say Final Fantasy. Nobody's going to be mad at you.
I mean, Final Fantasy, definitely. I mean, even like some of the EA sports games from like the PlayStation era, they would have like actual full motion video, like highlights, like video clips and commentary from the actual games. And then the game starts and it's all like blocky pixelated mess. Like, that's not what happens here. I think the art style for the game actually is
very really nice. It's weird. Like, again, a lot of it tends to be I don't know what it's more like, not I don't want yeah it's quips. It's like they talk during combat and stuff like that, but again, even that kind of gets repetitious because it's like they probably had them in there for like a day or two Because, yeah, like, I'm a fan of Michelangelo, and he says the same stuff. Like, he says the same stuff every time you, like, throw something into an enemy, or anytime you do certain moves. It's pizza time. Back to sender. And it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. It's cute to hear the voices, but yes, it does kind of get repetitious quickly. That said, yeah, I think from a production standpoint, though, it is really good. I mean, aesthetically, it looks so... I think the art style looks really good.
It looks exactly as I remember the actual arcade game of Turtles as. I don't know if that's... I don't know if that's accurate, but it's... In my head, this is what it looked like.
It probably actually looks a little better.
I think when you get to, I think when you get to the latest stages, I just finished, episode 9, which is like, the basic setup is, it's a beat 'em up. I mean, it's not, but like, it's kind of, it's very reminiscent of Turtles in Times in ways where, you know, there's a lot of them tend to be stages where you move from left to right, beating up as many people as you can. There's a boss encounter, and then you usually have like the vehicle stage. So we had one in the sewers and then the one in the sky, and the one in the sky was episode 9, which is what I just finished, or episode 8, I forget which one. And that was really nifty because like it's broad daylight, it's in the sky, so you get the bright colors, but then it has like, you know, like the turtle van is in the turtle blimp is in the background, and that's kind of giving you air support, so you see it like driving alongside you in the background. You're flying past buildings, there's a lot of clouds, and it's really bright and colorful. There's a lot more things happening on screen. So it looks very reminiscent of the arcade game, but I do think it's doing a lot of stuff better, and there's a lot more on screen, a lot more action. I would also say that it holds well. Granted, I've been playing by myself. I don't know how this will go with like 4 to 5 players and how much that would chug. But yeah, so far, I think it's a really great looker.
Tony, you don't particularly like arcade brawlers, but how did you feel about that first level?
Well, the thing about it, though, is that I played a lot of Turtles games when I was little. And I hate to go all Jeff, but it kind of brought me back to that, and I really enjoyed it.
Nice.
So, it instantly, like, you instantly remember all of that from your youth. You're, like, walking around the stage, just grabbing stuff. And, like, hitting enemies with objects that are on the screen. And like grabbing them and just whacking like 4 people at a time. I was playing as Donatello. I like the reach. It's nice to hit everything at once.
Yes.
I like the guys that jump out of the sewer and toss the cover at you and hit it back.
I will say I like a lot of the changes that they made where it makes it feel more. I guess in general. And that, like, you have stuff like that. You have a dodge button now, which I don't think you... A lot of that stuff was kind of accidental. You have special moves. And the special moves... I think a lot of old arcade games tended to tie those special moves to, like, your health, because the whole point was to eat up your quarters. This one tied it to a meter. I mean, very reminiscent of, like, Streets of Rage 4. You can stock them. I think that you have a taunt. Everybody has a unique taunt, and that taunt also helps to build up that meter. So it's a clever way to do it. Like Michelangelo, everybody has a unique taunt. Michelangelo's taunt, for example, is the actual dance he does in the opening of the original cartoon, that weird, like, funky chicken dance. Donatello pulls out like a Game Boy and he starts messing with that. What does April have? Oh, she takes out the mic and she says something with it, and then it's kind of funny because I don't know if any of you seen the clip I posted, because I played as April on the Switch when I started it this morning. So like one of the first things I beat the boss, and at the end of every chapter, like, you have a victory celebration, and her victory celebration is dropping the mic. So I had to pull it off of the taunt, and then she dropped it at the end, and it was really cool to kind of see that play out. So yeah, I think stuff like that, like the fact that there's an aerial, not aerial combat, there is aerial combat, but they make the aerial game something more important in here. So like you get, what am I trying to say? You get, You get aerial attacks, which you also get like aerial specials too, which is not something you had before. And that helps because you do fight flying enemies. A lot of the enemies are, you know, very reminiscent of stuff you would have played in the olden game. You get Mausers, you get the Foot, you get those stupid robots who I can never remember their actual, not the Mausers, but like the little ones that would pop out and like try to execute you.
They like spin around and
yeah,
like, those ones, yeah.
I don't remember their names, but you get them. And it's really nifty to kind of see all of that stuff. And then, you know, like they have a ton of variety. Okay, I want to say a ton of variety in enemy types, but like for the most part, I've mostly been fighting foot soldiers. They just come in different kind of variations, and they
yes, oh, they have different weapons. Like
they have different weapons, and they have different abilities. Like
yeah,
you have the ones with the swords. You have ones that have shields. You'll have ones that later on, I guess, started running into ninjas, and they tend to dodge your attacks, so you need to like kind of outsmart them. Like when they dodge to roll into them so that you can then hit them again. You get, what else is there? There's the ones, there are some that have like charge attacks. And like those charge attacks will, you can still attack them. But while like your attacks won't knock them back or knock them out, they actually do a lot of damage really quickly. So yeah, there's a ton of different foot type soldiers that you'll meet, but yes, for the most part, like 90% of the enemies you run into are foot, so far, which again makes sense. I mean, you're fighting Shredder and stuff like that. The opening, I think I saw the Triceratons, so I assume at some point you'll probably go to Dimension X. That does remind me, I like that the fact that you find those little, each stage has like hidden characters and things. Like in the first stage, you'll find Vernon hidden out behind one of the doors, and then Ermer's in one. And again, it's like stuff like that where people are like, oh man, I remember that from the cartoon. Where I think they do a good job of mixing the nostalgia without making it the whole identity of the game, because I think the game itself like knows what to, because it has like the second stage is what, New York City 3 p.m. Which yep, is a call back to Turtles in Time, 2 a.m. What is it? Is it 3 a.m. or 2 a.m.?
I don't know.
But yes, that. And I'm like, again, a lot of that stuff I'm just like really happy with. So yeah. I don't even know what I was answering about what Tony was saying anymore. So.
I mean, it looks like there's a ton to do. Like each of the characters can level up to level 10. I guess you have to find Casey Jones. We talked about that last week with
Casey Jones. Well, you have Casey to unlock him. He gets unlocked after you beat the game the first time.
Oh, okay. So he's not. I thought I had heard that you find him somewhere, but so you have to beat the game and then you get him. Okay.
Yeah. Which in hindsight was really weird that they revealed that like a week before launch. Because you could have just held on to it.
Right. Like, I think hype for this game was already high. Like, you didn't have to be like, hey, this guy that was in four episodes. It's,
yeah,
that everyone loves, but.
It's such a weird thing that people love him. Again, I don't think he's a bad character. It's just really funny when you think about it. Like, he's not a big part of the franchise in that way. He's in the first movie. He's not in the second. He's in the third movie. He's not in the animated movie. And then he's in the second movie of the reboot sequel. But yeah, he has a beloved fan base. So anyhow. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to at least trying it out with you guys. I think it may be a little bit easier playing with two people. And then there's like team up moves, I think, as well.
Yes, just team up moves. And the other thing I want to try out is you can like high five each other to give back health.
Ooh.
And I think you can also like, I mean, so far I would say the arcade mode, I don't think has been difficult. Not the arcade mode. The campaign mode hasn't been difficult. This, I mean, as far as I can tell, there's no real fail state. Like you die and you just kind of get respawned. Like I have lives, but I don't see it go down when I die.
Have you run out of, you've not run out of lives?
I don't think there's a fail state in the campaign. I think that's in the arcade. But I
my lives go down when I die.
Oh, maybe I'm just getting them back so quick you haven't even noticed.
Earl is just so good at this game. But he doesn't.
I've not run out of lives yet, though. So I don't know what happens if you run out of lives.
I assume since it's story mode, it's just like keep playing.
Yeah, you probably just go back to like the start of the chapter or something, but
replay the level. That would be that's penalty.
because I don't think I've died. I think in total I've probably died like 3 times so far. I'm OEP. I will say though, I think the level should be reversed. Because I think Nari is better than Chill, I feel like, is more of a normal than okay is.
Chill is the one that is like the default.
Chill is easy.
Okay.
Okay is normal.
Yeah, I'm playing on okay.
Okay, and then gnarly is hard.
Yes. Okay, it's one of those things where I can, like, it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, I think this is cute, but I think you could have, because like it is really, like you have to be really in tune to that culture, and I still think that that cool sounds better than okay, or chill sounds better than okay. But
yes, okay is like that's not very exciting.
Yeah, but so far I think they've been generous with. I mean, like I think they understand the level of difficulty because like they pay the way they spaced out the pizza so far. Fine. Is that I usually find it just when I'm kind of like, oh man, I've been through like 3 or 4 tough battles. I really need something. So they're usually pretty good with that. So I'm looking forward to playing it with actual people at some point. I wanted to do this today, but then we're recording and I'm like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense for me to like reach out to, and then I have to work, stupid work. They don't pay me enough.
Breaking news, Philadelphia was picked as one of the cities to host the World Cup.
Oh no. No, really? Not that. No.
When?
In 2026. It's a weird trio. It's being hosted by the US, Mexico and Canada. I guess New York is getting some games too. New York, New Jersey, so the Meadowlands. Philadelphia, San Francisco, Seattle, Dallas, Boston, Houston, Kansas City, Los Angeles, Miami, and Atlanta in the U.S., Toronto, Vancouver, and Canada, Mexico City, Guadalajara, and Monterrey in Mexico. So 2026 is going to be a. It's going to be off the charts here in Philly if we live that long.
Yeah.
It's a big if. It's a man-sized if.
It'll be the U.S.'s 250th anniversary birthday party. I don't know what you would call it. And the baseball all-star game will be here, plus the World Cup. It's going to be a nightmare coming into the city that summer. Anyway, back to games. Turtles is fun. E3 continued on.
Summer Game Fest.
Yeah, whatever we call it now. It continued on. Microsoft and Bethesda had their showcase. And I've got the list here. I don't know if we'll hit all of these, but they kicked off with Redfall.
And the red falls when it crumbles. Go on.
No.
Wow.
Keep singing.
It's like a vampire co-op shooter by the Arcane guys. I don't know, it looked fun. Jeff, you seem to like it, like what they showed of it.
It looks like Left 4 Dead via Borderlands, because it's like
I don't know.
You don't
just
know?
Like the way it didn't make me think of that.
I was thinking more because it's cast based. But then again, like, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, it sounds great. And then they come out with something that's just like, oh, why? Because I think it came out later this week that it is right now, it is host space.
Yes. Which is like what that was it Back for Blood? That was what it was called, right?
Yeah.
And it's like you don't make progress in your, the game if you're playing with your friends.
Yes.
Unless you're the host. That's shitty.
Really?
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird. That was the weirdest management. You can't do that in a co-op game anymore.
But yeah, back to his point, Back for Blood did that. And I think that was one of the reasons like we just did not like it was because it's like what's because then it means that either you have the same host or like you don't play with people because it's like or you're doing the same thing 4 or 5 times. Which is a cheap way to pad out the replayability, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we're going to get it for free, so I'll probably... I understand it. It's not like Left 4 Dead. Like, it's an actual game. Not to say that Left 4 Dead's not a game, but you know what I mean? Like,
I was going to say that we got Back for Blood for free, and we tipped on that. So.
But I think more to Earl's point, like, it does seem more Borderlands-ish, I would think, than maybe Left 4 Dead. It's Left 4 Dead in the fact that you have 4 players with you.
Yeah.
But Borderlands in that it's like a full game.
Yeah, not like, you know, Left 4 Dead is very simple, like, survive from point A to point B type, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm making any sense, but it sounded like this is going to be more of a game, so maybe, you know, it might be fun to play through on your own even. I don't know.
I'm hoping.
I just don't see why I would want to play with other people if it's like none of it's counting. Like,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, it does count. Like you'll unlock achievements and stuff, but like, yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, let's say we play and then like you don't want to play anymore, but you were the host. Then we'd have
to start over. Bad.
I don't know. Could be okay, though.
I mean, if they made it so your character at least levels up, like, and that transfers, like, I don't know. Maybe they'll hear, hey, don't do this shitty thing. It's not coming out for, like, another year or so.
Right. You'd like to think maybe they'd be like, oh, no one likes this idea. Maybe we should change it.
I mean, that's how, like Elden Ring is like, if I'm helping you, it's not making progress in my game, but I get the experience for doing it. And
yes,
so
but Elden Ring is specifically doing that task to help somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
This would be like if you started Elden Ring with somebody.
I know.
Play through the whole campaign, you get no progress.
This would be like playing Diablo together and like...
And not counting for Melissa.
You can't go back to your, like, you know, your own game. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's
and anything you did in the other game doesn't count. So like you go back, you, like weird choice. They have some time to fix it. Hopefully they do. Does not seem people are happy about that. So, Hollow Knight Silksong. I don't know if any of you guys are excited for that. I did not like the first one, so
I'll try it.
I'm excited for people who are excited.
There you go.
I found that like the first game's cool, but it's like so unbelievably hard. Like I think I put 30 hours into that first one before I was just tapped out. I'm like, this is ridiculously hard. But yeah, I'll try it. Maybe there'll be easy mode.
One Jeff, you seem to like out of the early trailers, High on Life.
Yeah,
looked like talking guns.
Very colorful and
very colorful, yeah.
Yeah, all the guns talk to you, and one was like hatching eggs or something gross, and that was like your ammo.
Yeah, I don't think I know that one. Great. Man. I've not seen the press conference yet, but I've seen most of. So, what is this game called?
High on Life.
And I think it's the creators of Rick and Morty making the game or something.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. So that's Dan Harmon. No, is it Dan Harmon?
Justin Roiland Squanch.
For some reason, I thought it was a guy.
Justin Roiland is the, I guess he's one of the creators, and Squanch Games is the studio.
Okay, I'll look into this.
I thought it looked cool. I don't know.
It definitely has a style to it. I don't know if the humor will hold up over the course of 10 hours, but...
I have a rule. It's called the Sonic rule, and that's if it's bright and colorful, I will like it.
I thought you meant the Sonic rule that you will just pay any old trash.
I mean, it could go both ways. Also, I think everything they announced was coming to Game Pass. So I think
I'll try it.
Riot Games is coming to PC Game Pass, which is weird because a lot of those games are free to play, but I guess you can play them through the Xbox app now. Not sure. I guess they're also giving like bonuses and stuff for like League of Legends and Valorant. Actually, all the Valorant agents. So, like, I guess you have to unlock the agents if you play it via the free to play app. And League of Legends, same thing. This is unlocking all the characters outright through Game Pass. So I guess that's cool if you like those games. Plague Tale Requiem, sequel to a Plague Tale. I don't remember the
Have any of us played Plague Tale?
I did.
And?
It's a neat thing. It's a stealth.
He doesn't like it.
No, I.
It's a neat thing.
Yeah, it's weird because like you want to play it like an action game, but it really isn't. Like you are always, it's a giant escort mission. You always have like your little brother in tow with you, so you're trying to just like avoid being seen. And then the way you kind of fight enemies is by using these swarming rats, and setting up situations where you'll like knock out the lantern that's keeping them away, which will allow the rats to swarm over the enemies. You're not like doing any direct fighting, although this one did have the main character, the girl, like just beating the hell out of somebody, so maybe this is a little more action oriented. It's a very pretty game too, so I think
I knew it was pretty the moment we started talking about rats.
the rat, I mean, they have like thousands of rats on screen, and that animation stuff is really cool. Like, they're gross, but it looks really neat, like, because just this kind of swarming mass of fur and teeth.
There's a swarming mass of rats in Ninja Turtles.
Yes, there is. When you fight the rat king.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
I haven't gotten there yet.
I haven't either.
Then they spent way too long on Forza Motorsport.
Yeah, that was what I heard from a lot of people. There's that followed by, I think, Flight Sim.
Yep.
And people were like, this is like the part where everybody's checking out. Because you just have to really be into both of those games.
I did get up to move my laundry when the Forza thing started. Like, I get it, dude. It's fucking, yeah.
Right. It's a great looking racing game. But they were going way too deep for, like, you didn't need to go to
show a game that's not out for another year or whatever.
Yeah. The Flight Sim stuff was kind of cool. I guess they're calling it the 40th anniversary of Flight Sim. Some new world updates, new historical planes and stuff they've added, but also a little too long. They also added the Pelican from Halo into it, so.
And I saw a lot of people complain about that.
That it was
all right. In. It's not right.
Because it's not a real thing. Yeah, I mean, I guess. Sure. Whatever. It's dumb. Like they put a skin of a sci-fi spaceship. Who cares? People, you don't have to use it.
People fascinate me to no end. As like, I wouldn't even think to complain. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a cool synergy thing. And not like, oh, this, because I mean, it looks realistic enough.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a military vehicle. And they've added stuff like, you know, you can drive the Warthog and Forza. Like, it's not like they haven't added that stuff to Sims before. Overwatch 2, they revealed a release date for early access. October 4th. I think Jeff typed into our group chat that it was overrated to.
More like overrated. Yeah. I'm sorry. I think that game is like, it was fine. I don't know. I'm not.
Well, I guess. You know, I'm not some
multiplayer shooter expert or anything. It's just, I don't get what the big deal is. Like,
I guess that's what I was going to ask is like, what is it over? How is it overrated? I feel like it has the appropriate amount of like people enjoy it, but I don't think people go on and on.
It was a big deal. There was a lot of game of the year and shit like that about it. Like,
yeah, when it came out, it was
I don't think anyone. That's why I wonder is like, does anyone even? I'm sure people are, but you know, like, who cares?
I mean, it has a player base that is still active.
I did hear that like the sequel does not really seem like they've done much with the.
And I think that's part of the reason they went free to play. Is like, yes, that has been a major complaint with like the open beta and stuff. Is like, this feels like Overwatch, which is, I think, always was going to be the problem with. Like, Destiny had giant gear and problems that they were able to fix with Destiny 2, and then Destiny 2 has pretty much. But, like, yeah, Overwatch, it just seemed like they were making a sequel to make a sequel, because anything you would do, added more modes, added new characters, you could just do in Overwatch. So you can be too successful of a game that serves, I guess.
The only thing about Overwatch 2 that, like, had me interested at all is that it will have a campaign at some point. So that could be fun. Because I think those characters are fun to play as.
Yes, and there is some weird lore. It's like the Zelda timeline where there's hardcore nerds who know, like, you know, like, there's some stuff, like some of the characters have identities and personalities, but like, it's one of those things where I'm like, I don't know where you get this from, but there are people who are very much into that. So
yeah, I mean, it's very similar to Apex, where every time they have a new character introduced, like, they get like this story cutscene. They kind of make a big deal out of like the animation that they do for the character. I mean, whatever.
I never paid attention to any of that.
It doesn't make sense story wise. Like,
there's no story. If there was a story, that's great. But this, like, I'm playing a match to see if I make it all the way to the end. I'm not like playing story anything.
All right. Real-time strategy game, Aura, History Untold. They didn't show any gameplay, though. So.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I was very disappointed. If you go to the website for the game, there's some screenshots.
Okay.
But Does it look
like a Civ-type game? Or
It's a very, very much from like the Civ type of game, but like, you can't tell anything from the screenshots. There are areas, it's not quite hexes like most of these games are, but like, I really wanted gameplay for something that's supposed to be out within a year.
Right.
This seems like,
Was it just a CG trailer, especially for an RTS? Like,
it,
that
it looked exactly like the beginning of a Civilization game. That's great, but that's the thing that you get like right before the game comes out.
Yeah.
I want like actual, like, tell me why I should play this, because like, that genre right now is packed. There are a lot of those games, so like, give me a reason to play this one over the other ones.
Nothing. Then they did gave updates on Elder Scrolls Online and Fallout 76, neither of which we play. Tony, sounded like you might try Elder Scrolls Online.
No, I don't think so. I was looking for a reason to play it, and like,
there's no games coming out.
But I have other stuff I could put. Like, like, I started playing. I never finished Assassin's Creed Origins. Well, it's on Game Pass now.
There you go.
They gave you the deluxe version for free if you have Game Pass.
Origins is the Egyptian one.
It's the Egyptian one. I never finished it. I'm like, I can play that. It's been pretty good.
I think that they might have turned around Fallout 76 a bit too. That might be decent. That's yeah, the one I would be more. I just like that world more. But
I've heard good things about both. Yeah. It's just Elder Scrolls Online. I have tried to play, and having people just run around like
yep
in the it is super distracting.
Having to wait to finish a quest is really annoying. Like.
Yeah.
Oh, you killed the guy I needed to kill, so I need to wait for him to come back now.
Oh, yeah. Like, see, I don't know how that type of game really works.
I think Fallout 76, you can shard yourself, like, basically, like, create a private game where it's just you and your friends, which would make it
just Fallout
more Fallout, but also... And if they've added in story stuff into Fallout 76, because when that game launched, there was nothing to do. But if they've added that in, then yeah, you're basically just playing a Fallout game at that point.
Which, you know, I like that.
Yeah. And I guess they're bringing back the pit. That was what their trailer for E3 was. Or not E3, whatever this thing is called. Hot Wheels back in Forza Horizon. It's coming soon, actually. July. Vin Diesel's going to be in ARK 2. That was weird.
That's a choice. Did anybody play ARK 1? I kind of like the idea of taming dinosaurs.
I like played it for achievement points, but you don't actually have to play much of the game to get them all. So, I don't know. It's another one of those survival type games. Like if you like that type of stuff, like except it has dinosaurs. So, that's cool. Scorn, imagery, I believe, by H.R. Giger, of Alien fame and other stuff. That trailer was gross looking, like he pulled something out of his chest, and yeah, looks very, very foul. I'll probably play it. Flintlock, Siege of Dawn. I don't know, at first I thought it was a Fable type game, but looks more like an action game where you play this girl who is going to kill some gods. One that I think Jeff was kind of like,
as you do,
he liked, and I thought it looked pretty cool as well. Minecraft Legends.
Yeah, I really like the visuals, like the graphics.
Yeah,
like it's like Minecraft, but like better looking. I don't know how to explain it, but it looks like if you were gonna do a Minecraft sequel, like that's how it should look.
I this is the part I think I kind of came in on, and I apologize. I just haven't had the time to go back and rewatch. I was in transit for half of it. What is Minecraft Legends?
Hey. They're calling it a strategy spinoff, but it looks more like an action strategy type game. Looks like you might be like building up like forts and stuff to hold off hordes of enemies. I'm not 100% sure. It just looked cool.
Yeah, like I don't know if I'll actually like the game, but I just liked the look of it. I was like, that looked cool. Like. Yeah. Maybe.
It kind of, it's like a mix of like if you were to upgrade, what was that other Minecraft game? Dungeons. If you were to upgrade like what that game looked like and give a slightly better perspective.
You may make it a good game.
Right, exactly.
Sure. That game is baby's first Diablo and it's mediocre at best. But
despite what Walt says.
Yeah.
Stop talking yourself into games are good, Walt. If it's not good, it's not good.
I tried Stop to just pretending. Be nice. I tried to be nice about it. I was like, eh, it was fine. I did not like that game either. I wanted to like it. I remember me and Chris were like really excited about that game.
Here's the thing, like when a game comes out and it's like baby's first whatever, I expect my kids to like it. If they don't like it,
yeah, it's
then it's failed.
It's too simple, I think.
They did not like it. thought it was boring.
Kids can handle Diablo. I think you can make something as deep as that with that Minecraft skin. It would be cool. But
I would even say that I think Torchlight fills that void, because Torchlight, I don't think, is as intense as a Diablo.
I don't think there's anything in Diablo that's like... I don't have kids, and it's hard for me to like...
I don't think Diablo is that tough, but I do think... Like, I think the problem with that is, like, you know, to the point, it's like, there is a scale. Like, Diablo is kind of the middle. I would say Path of Exile is, like, the very top. Because Path of Exile, you need to, like, understand skill trees and how everything interlinks and, like, your gear and stuff. And then I would say that something like Torchlight, it's not that it's simpler than Diablo, because it's pretty much you have a character... And you can like just go into this tree where Diablo, you get a bunch of different abilities that you can mask. And then Minecraft Dungeons was like, we're not even going to give you classes. Here's a weapon and call it a day.
Yeah, everyone has a sword. Everyone has a ranged weapon. Everyone has magic. And the only difference is the numbers that go up.
I don't know, man. If kids can figure out fucking Minecraft, like regular Minecraft, they can figure out something like Diablo. Because fuck, man.
Dude, I don't want
Minecraft hard.
Do your kids play Minecraft, Tony?
They do. They love Minecraft.
Yeah, I don't understand. My daughter plays it. Like my youngest daughter, like she's like building like fucking skyscrapers and shit.
I don't like.
What the fuck is going on?
I mean, my kids are like put in creative mode. Like, I'm gonna fill this room full of bats. There's gonna be so many bats you can't see.
Your kids are just going full chaos.
That's right.
I just it's such a steep learning curve starting off Minecraft. It really is. Like, it amazes me that kids are.
I wish there was a little more direction.
There's like, there's kind of like an instruction booklet type thing you could read, but like other than that, once you start a game, it's just like here you go,
right? You're tells in the you world.
Nothing tells you nothing. The most like just like learning how to like use a furnace, which you don't even know that you have to do at first. It's just like, oh, and I guess I need coal with this, and then that will make this. Like it's just like. You're constantly learning new, like, information. It's like, and while you're trying to learn new information, getting attacked by fucking shit every night and losing everything and basically having to, like, start over, and it's just, good lord, man, that game is a lot. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's been out for a little while. Minecraft.
No. Indie game?
Nope. Never heard of it.
I know, I'm just like talking about it like I've discovered this game. I don't know if I could keep up with it.
You can't.
There's like three more indie games they released. And then, so here's one, and I'm only bringing this one up because I thought the trailer was terrible. And it's also been advertised on my Xbox dashboard as Dusk Falls.
Mm.
It's like some weird visual novel. Thing.
Love that shit.
It's like a weird visual novel where you make choices. I'm not sure.
What if you made a Telltale game and animate it? Does that sound cool, guys?
No.
I mean, look, I think that I don't really love these like story games anymore, but something like The Quarry, I'm going to check it out when it's on sale, but like this just looks like so half-assed. Like I get it. You're trying to say like that's the style, like but it's like come on, dude. I don't want to play that.
Yeah, I thought the trailer was bad. Like story-wise, like it looks like it could be interesting, but like,
maybe
visually I was like this is not attractive at all.
It's just so not what I'm looking for. In a game anymore.
Something called Naraka Blade Point looks like some sort of like ninja game. Where you play as this woman ninja.
Oh yeah, like we're in the shadows.
Yeah. She's like jumping and killing people on top of her. It gave me Tenchu vibes. A little bit. And that's real soon. That's like next week.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You can already like pre-install it.
It looked That's cool. Because I remember thinking that looked kind of cool. I was like, I'll try that out.
I guess Grounded is finally coming out.
Yeah, yeah. I am happy that a game that we played 2 years ago finally gets over.
Get your achievements now. Finally.
I wish
it didn't have achievements, did it?
So I guess not when it launched. It has achievements now.
Oh, okay. And they are adding a story mode.
I thought it had a story mode.
I guess you can get the full story now is what this trailer said. So I don't know. I tried it when it launched. I'm like, I don't know if I like these survival games. I think that's where I ended up on it.
I was going to say, I wish they added some fun to it because it's not a bad game to play. It's just not my type of, I don't like the things where it's like, oh, gather these resources to build this thing so you could build this bigger thing. I'm like, okay, no.
Diablo 4, they showed the Necromancer. That game looks great.
Yeah, this is where the podcast stops right here. We talk about Diablo 4 for the rest of the evening.
The game looks great.
All right, let me get out my pillow. My blanket.
I don't know what else to say about it, Jeff. Like,
I mean,
phenomenal looking.
It's I was just expecting, you know, another Diablo, and they're like, no, guess what? This time it's open world. I think they said 158 dungeons. So what I'm imagining in my head is like a true open world, like Breath of the Wild or Elden Ring, where it's like there's not like a mission order you're going through. It's just like,
oh, I bet there's a mission order you're going through. You could probably wander into any of that shit off the bat, but it'll be like level locked. Like you cannot, like you won't be able to fight through your way through there.
Well, I just hope that it's not. I hope it's not like GTA open world where you have to like, this is mission one, this is mission two. I do hope that it is more open and closer to what I'm thinking of. And you can just label the dungeon as you're going in and say recommended level.
Diablo has always been story heavy. I know nobody pays any attention to them, but they've all like even Immortal has a story.
Even Breath of the Wild has a story, and it just allows you to do it, you know,
in any order. Like, but also you are a soul person, like in Breath of the Wild. Like, it is not.
See, like my thought in Diablo is it's going to make Diablo 3, because you had those huge areas to explore. I think what then happens, you less of a having a hub town that then branches out. It's just going to be a bunch of like town, like things connected between hubs that you then go to, like one big map instead of a bunch of smaller maps that are still kind of able for you to explore. But there's pretty much a path they want you to take.
Yeah, I never imagined the game I'm imagining now in my head until they fucking said it. So now I want the game that they fucking said to me. and that is really fucking cool. Like, just, I don't know. If that's how it really is, it would be amazing. There's some other cool things I think they touched on. Like, you could fight other players. I think they said, like, if you're, like, really good, you'll be marked on people's maps as, like, a champion or some shit like that.
Hope you can opt out of that, folks. Like, I don't want people just coming up and, like,
I'm sure there's, like, I'm sure there's,
like, that is something that you, like, there has been PvP in Diablo before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just hope I have to like opt into it.
I don't know, man. The game, like, I was excited for Diablo, and then after that, like little 5-minute preview they did, I was just like, "Oh, you really are like," because they right at the beginning of it, they're like, you know, some modern twists that we've learned from modern gaming or whatever, and then they start talking about all this other shit. I'm like, You did not Breath of the Wild this. I hope you've. I don't know. You guys seem convinced that they have not, but to me, it's like that's how they made it sound to me. regardless, it's going to be good either way, but fucking now I want that.
Well, we'll see sometime next year, evidently. So 2023, like 90% of these games.
I'm like coming out of that though. It's like, is that someone touched on that Starfield? I'm just like,
yeah.
Whatever you want to say about their show, it's like those two games were like huge. Like it was like, you could say they had a weak show, but it's like they still had two huge fucking games that like I got way excited about. You know.
So we'll touch on Starfield in a second, and kind of your overall point there, Jeff. But the other one I wanted to mention, well, two other things I wanted to mention before we talk about Starfield. Looks like Persona series coming to Xbox. That's pretty big news.
Very surprised that it wasn't at least partially like you could download this one today. I fully expected that to be like, I don't know which ones are coming, but
yeah, like so it's weird. It's like it's Persona 3, 4, and 5, but 5 is the first one coming out.
Yes, it's that was like to say it's so weird that 5 is the first one. Like you would think the most recent game, yes, it makes sense it's the most recent game, but it's like also the, and I do think they're connected somewhat.
So like you should play them in order. Like,
I don't know.
I've heard they're great. No one here has played them.
No. I do own it, but good to get around to that at some point.
There's like when I hear like, oh, Persona 5, just to get through the story is like 100 hours.
Yes.
Like that's like a huge like no. Like, yeah, I want to play it because it seems really cool. Art style looks awesome. Music looks like sounds great. But then it's like 100 hours to just baseline the game.
If it's really amazing, then maybe that's good.
I mean, you're right. It's just like sitting down to start that undertaking.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know if I want to devote it 100 hours. But October 21st for Persona 5 Royale. So, and then Hideo Kojima showed up.
Great. Can you leave now?
Sorry. I knew it was going to be like, once they started with it, like I fully expected it to be exactly what it was. Where it's
nothing.
Like, I have an amazing idea for a game. More details to go. I was like, okay, dude, like you're that much of a fucking rock star that like, he's the only person on the planet that could do that. Like, not even say anything about the fucking game at all. People are fucking creaming their pants over it. And
it's now you'd like, be walking across America carrying a phone. Oh my god. Who would have thought of that? A phone in a video game. This is the first time. My god, everyone, look, there's a phone in this game. That's...
Yeah, I am not in the camp of people that, like, I'm not, like, a fan of his or whatever. Like, I guess, you know, I kind of liked Metal Gear Solid 5, and I don't know. Like, it's just like, whatever. It just cracks me up, though, that like he's that big of a deal. That that's like, I would say don't say anything at that point if you have nothing to fucking say. You know what I mean? Since it's him.
All it did was piss off, like, a bunch of his fans. Like, crazy people, mind you. Absolute crazy people, but they're like, he shouldn't be going to Xbox. Like, this is ridiculous.
I mean, it's not like they own him now. He's making a game for them, right? Like, it's
right. Like, he's
that was the funny part too. That was the funny part to me because I think he had to come out and apologize or stay like this, still working with Sony because so many people got upset.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, it's nuts. Insane.
I had Xbox.
And then the final game of their show was Starfield, which had, I think Jeff and I came out going, that looks really cool. I'm not sure what Tony thought. I don't think he gave us his thoughts on it.
No, it looked awesome.
Okay.
It looked awesome.
Did see Earl
I think
the one
thing I said was it looked like a Sean game.
Oh, well, I said something about that too, because they're doing ship porn at one point it's just like, you could, I think they said you could design your ship and all that shit. Like, I'm like, that's like Sean in the group chat is just talking about ships he's building in these fucking games. But so
Earl, you were less enthused, I think, than us.
thought the game looked rough.
Like the visually, or just like
not visually, it's fine. But there were times where I don't know if it was the stream I was watching or what, where it looked like it was chugging and it couldn't keep up, and like, the gunplay didn't look amazing.
I don't know, it looked a step above like their usual.
I feel like that sometimes is my problem. Is that there's like you mentioned Kojima, and there are companies where it's like, oh, it's Bethesda, of course it's going to be a little janky. I'm like, but why do we get a lot of them to get away with?
No,
I agree.
I don't think it's janky. Like, their games are not shooters. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
they're not. But why make it a shooter? You know?
I don't know. I thought the shooting that they showed in this was way more robust than what's been in like Fallout.
It looked as good as like Cyberpunk to me, which I thought felt okay. You know,
the Cyberpunk shooting sucks, Jeff. I'm sorry.
I get it, and it would be awesome if you know these games had
like Doom.
Yeah, but they are. In a way, you could say, yeah, they are primarily shooters because, like, that's your main form of combat. And that's how you interact with shit. But it's like they're much bigger games than that. So it's like
more about exploring everything and even with Fallout 4, like it was about like building up your community, and this looks like you'll be building up your space stations or your bases but that doesn't. That doesn't make a good trailer, I guess. Like I walking around talking.
I guess what I saw here was the version of No Man's Sky that I actually wanted.
Yeah,
like
there were parts that
I didn't want like billions and billions of randomly generated worlds. Like there's 1,000 worlds here, which is a lot, but not so many that they're all going to suck. And I can go out into the world and I can explore and I can build my stuff and. And there will actually be cool things to see.
That's it, right? Like there's handcrafted actual mission stuff here. So like, yeah, there's probably, you know, 900 worlds that are, you know, fucking Hoth.
Yeah.
Like very varying degrees, like, you know, Jungle Planet or whatever. Like they're not going to be super exciting to go to, but it's going to have like a very detailed and handcrafted campaign to follow, and that I think is what'll be fun.
Hopefully, you know, cool things that you could discover on some of these worlds, like, you know, side missions and characters and
yeah.
But back to the fucking shooting, I always thought like that was a smart thing about Fallout is the way it's almost like it felt like they knew the shooting was not up to snuff with like a shooter. So they added that, what was it, VATS? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does not seem like it's here. So
I know. So I wonder about that. But like I always thought like that made it the shooting work in Fallout because you basically were laying like an RPG fighting system on top of the shooting where it's like, oh, this percentage chance if you shoot this limb, you know what I mean? Like, and it looked cool when you know.
Well, I think that was one of the problems with Fallout 4, right? Was that they made the VATS like real time, so like time is moving. This defeats the point. Like this is pretending like this game is an actual shooter, which it isn't. Yeah. Stop pretending it is.
I do wonder because they didn't show anything like that in Starfield. They should put that in. Maybe I don't know. Maybe it's too late. Maybe you know. Maybe it is something like that is in there and they just didn't show it. But it didn't look like. I don't think the shooting looked terrible. And it's just I like that these types of RPGs and. You know, them doing one in space looks fucking awesome, dude. And I thought graphically it looked a lot better than most things they've done. So I'm excited, man.
And most people are. I'm not gonna, you know, people are excited. I was just like watching that. I'm like, oh, this looks rough. I mean, it looks like I understand why they delayed it to next year. Like, I think that stuff you can clean up, but this is not ready for prime time at the end of the fall.
And I think that's fair, right? Like, we're not going to see this for 8 to 10 months.
And I think even when it comes out, you know, I don't think you're ever going to get something like this perfect, you know?
Why not?
I just think it's too big. I think it's too hard of a thing to do.
That? Like when they said there's 1,000 planets, I'm like, why do you need that many?
That's true.
Yeah.
Like I feel like most of them are gonna end up looking the same and feeling the same. Like that, I guess that's always my thing. Like people talk about when people talk about the size and scope of their games, I'm like, I'd rather you tell me about like what makes it you like those environments unique. Like if it's like 1,000 planets, but half of them are desert or ice planets, or like you find the same 5 enemies over and over again, or
you spend just drop down and you're driving your Mako through the same copy and paste facility.
Yes, like it sounds like a great number, and then it's like, but is that 1,000 unique planets? Like is somebody going through and make it, or is it like, oh yes, this is like level 1, and here's like level 1-1, and it's level 1-2, and I'm like, oh okay, we're kind of just doing the same thing on, we're getting a slightly larger each time, huh?
That's what blows me away. You know, I'm not going to say it. I was going to bring up a game that I talked about way too much this year already, but...
Let me guess.
Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Is it Elden Ring?
Yeah. I mean, that, they're doing one world, but that world is massive, but every corner of that game is designed, like, and interesting, you know what I mean? Like, that's the way to do it, probably.
Well, and we know from what Todd Howard said is that they're using a lot of procedural generation for those 1,000 worlds. So it is going to be a lot of like weird, maybe not handcrafted shit there, but it evidently will have a lot of handcrafted stuff as well. So,
hey, I'm excited for it regardless. I like these types of games, but I mean, yeah. The point is well made that like having 1,000 worlds means absolutely dick to me. Like, okay, but great, dude.
I'm never visiting 1,000 worlds.
Exploring in Mass Effect was never fun. Like, it was never cool to like go to like a random fucking planet. Like, to do what? You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, you have to see. Like, maybe there's a reason to do it.
Yeah.
Like, maybe there's a reason for it to be the forever game, but we'll have to see how that plays out. Right now, it's just a number they're throwing out there and means little.
I doubt it, but like, I don't know, man. What the hell was that one Obsidian made that I think we all liked?
The Outer World.
Worlds,
right? Not Wild. Wild was the other one.
Yes.
They didn't have 1,000 worlds in that. And that game was actually pretty limited in scope, especially for being a space game, but I found that game super interesting.
I honestly think we need to go back to the days of having limited scope. Like, have a well-crafted game, not like, we'll just make it bigger and give you a bunch of really funny waypoints. And I'm not mad at Sonic Frontiers.
So Jeff, you came out of this going like, oh, Diablo, Starfield, that was good enough for me.
I mean, I those two things. Look, man, how many like Nintendo conferences have I sat through where I came out of it with like nothing? Like I'm just like, okay, what the fuck? Like they showed me two games that I'm immensely excited about. Like I'm very, very excited about Diablo 4 and Starfield. They also showed a shit ton of other games that I'm gonna get to play for free. A lot of them look pretty cool to me.
And
yeah, so you know, I don't
disagree with that. Like I do think like there's a lot of cool stuff, but Microsoft has like what 40 studios now.
Like where are the games from those studios that you have now?
Right, and we saw Diablo, which isn't their studio yet, and Starfield, which both are games that we knew were coming. So where's like the update on Everwild, that game that Rare's making?
And
Perfect Dark, Avowed, Hellblade 2, Fable, GoldenEye rumor.
That GoldenEye rumor is never gonna die.
State of Decay 3, like they showed that CG trailer last year. We've heard nothing on that. Indiana Jones, that was showed right after the Bethesda deal went into effect. Like there's all like, that's just like the small list. Like there's all those other studios that are working on shit. Where was that Contraband? Remember that one from last year? Like, where have all those games gone?
They're dead.
I think I didn't go into it with any expectations. In fact, like, I didn't know it was happening until I was on Twitter that day and saw people saying like it's starting. So I just went in like as a blank slate, going, "Show me what you got." And I wasn't actually, I didn't have in my mind the things that they'd shown before. That like it was like you're saying, like, "What's going on with this? What's going on with that?"
Right.
Forgot about all of it. So yeah. Like I was like, you know, you showed me a bunch of shit that looked cool to me, and you showed me two games that I was already looking forward to, and after you showed them, even more so. You know, so I get what you're saying. Some of that stuff, like, I do, isn't Avowed supposed to be like a cool like RPG? Like,
yeah, that was like what they, that was before they had purchased Bethesda. So it was like, oh, they bought Obsidian, and Obsidian's making Elder Scrolls. That's what it looked like.
Yeah. So it's like, I would definitely like to see that, and I would like to know when I could play that. But I just, it wasn't in my head as I watched it, so I wasn't like disappointed in what I saw. I was just like,
it. I don't hate Jeff's analysis. It makes me really happy that I didn't sit down to watch the show live, because I would have been so disappointed. How can I sit down for all of this time and you're only going to shoot me two games that I want?
No, the thing is, it's
like a waste.
The other games look cool too, you know, or you know, some of the other stuff looked really cool too. But it's like, it feels like, I get what Chris is saying. Cause it's like, you know, let's say all these games they showed this year, I thought they looked pretty cool. None of them come out by the next quote unquote E3, and the next show they're showing a bunch of other stuff that stuff, like,
yeah.
It's just like, all right, man, well, where's the things that you said were coming? You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? You know, it is kind of getting to that point a little bit with them.
I think it's
gotten a little bit.
That conversation around them. I actually got in trouble the other day on Twitter because I made a comment. It's like, games take like 5 or 6 years to make. I'm like, I understand and I appreciate that. When you buy up half the industry, I'm hoping that you can create a log or a conveyor belt where, like, even if these games are taking 5 years, that you have enough that people are on off cycles. Like, you have a company. Like, Rare needs, I'm not saying Rare needs to put out a game every year.
But why are we going all of 2022 without a big first party game from Microsoft?
Yes. With that many studios, look at Nintendo, man. Like, for as much as I complain about the dry spells you get with them, like, they're just little old Nintendo, and they do an okay job of supporting their systems. You know what I mean? Like, you will get a big game from them every year, for the most part.
And I mean, like, I've already, for Nintendo, right? I've already got that new Pokemon game that came out this year. Kirby came out this year. Strikers came out. Splatoon's coming out. Xenoblade's coming out. And like, that's another five Pokemon games.
And that's just, you know, Nintendo. Another like,
Pokemon game. Yeah, that's six they games.
They have some studios and stuff, but they do not have the roster that Microsoft has now. Microsoft has half the industry, and you're like, okay, dude, like, why can't I get an RPG this year? Like a big, you know, like, it's going to be a big RPG every year on Xbox. Like, I'm sorry.
I honestly do think that at some point it should be, like, they should have a big Western RPG, and they need to have a big first-person shooter. Because you think about the fact that they own, like, Obsidian and Bethesda. They own, like, they have the Doom IP, they have Wolfenstein IP, they have Halo, they have Gears, they have Perfect Dark. There's enough brands that you own and enough companies where you can go, like, okay, it's going to take 4 or 5 years, but we need to have one of these every year. And I do think that it's, again, they'll add Call of Duty soon, and, you know, they'll have, I think, Spyro and Crash. So you have enough stuff where it's like, you shouldn't be having these huge gaps where, like, you can't, like, what is Double Fine doing? I guess they did Psychonauts last year, so I don't want to pick on them. But, like, you have enough studios to be like, you need something, even if it's like a major expansion. Like, we need something from you every 2 to 3 years.
Not a fucking 1/3 finished Halo that you never finished. I don't know, man.
I know they announced season 2. Did they announce anything about the online co-op?
So but not at the show, but yeah, online co-op is going into testing for insiders in July.
Dude, that is like inexcusable. I'm sorry. Like, my friend asked me the other day, he's like, when is the co-op for Halo coming out? I'm like, it should have came out in December. It should have came out the day the fucking game came out. Like, there's no excuse for that. I'm sorry. Like, they should have just delayed it another year, I guess, you know?
And it, but, I don't even know.
No fucking game. Like,
I don't even know if you delay it another year if they have it, because, like, it is not ready now. Like, it is, it's not crazy, going to be ready by the end of this year. Like, that's crazy. Co-op mode will not be ready. Like, it is going into testing in July. Maybe by December it's ready to go.
I mean, maybe by the time it comes out, I want to play the game again. I don't know, man. There's so many things I'm looking forward to from Microsoft, but, like, one, I think that, like, as cool as Halo was, like, they fucked that shit up big time. And two, where the fuck are the games, man? I'm starving right now. Turtles is going to last me a day.
It wouldn't be so disappointing if other people were releasing games, but no one's releasing games. Where the fuck are the games?
Right.
I mean, I got Ninja Turtles. I'm good.
For a day, know, but Jeff like, just said, like, for a day. How, like, yeah. How long is it going to take you to get sick of Ninja Turtles?
There's 7 characters. I can only say for a week.
It's good until next week.
But no, I get that point. And I mean, like, yes, like, even like, yes, even with smaller size, like, you know, Nintendo has Fire Emblem Three Hopes coming out later this month. You have some games announced at this and I think other shows for this year, but I feel like a lot of them are just like, okay, they were announced. I don't know what to do with this information. I don't know what you are. Like, I'll get the query, I think, eventually when it's on discount.
Ooh, expensive. I don't know. It looks cool. People say
we want to
like
talk
it.
About the quarry.
I played the quarry. Yeah, I mean, it's just to me, like, that type of game, I'm not going to spend $70 on. It's just too much.
No, I can see where you guys are at. Like, I really like their games, and yeah, I think this I is the best one they have done since Until Dawn. Like,
no, I like their games. I like their games too, but I also understand industry trend, and their games tend to be half off by the time you get to Black Friday.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I can wait.
if you wait around to Halloween or Black Friday, that sale, you will be able to get it for, you know, $30 or less. I am really enjoying it though. Very, very good.
Slasher vibes.
It is. So it takes place at a summer camp.
I know that. So then it makes me think, like, oh, is it gonna be like a that, you know?
It is. So there's like this something called the Hackett's Hag, which is like this ghost story of this hag that like murders children. But where I ended it last night, it looks like it might be taking a turn, a wrong turn. Let's say.
Oh.
I am getting that vibe from where this game is heading.
Cool. I like that.
So it is fun. The characters that the cast they've set up, I like all of them right now. David Arquette is the kind of the owner of the campsite.
That's cool.
So like he's like some of the other ones look familiar, but they're not. Nobody off the top of my head I'm like, oh, I know this person from here, but they seem like, you know, they're camp counselors. They're playing them really well. They're all super charming, all have different personalities. The writing seems pretty good. I will say they've simplified the QTEs, at least for what I played so far. It's only like, you know, press up or left or right or down on the stick. But I know that there's achievements for like breathing, like not breathing, I guess. Like there's like that mini game or whatever that shows up. So I don't know. I haven't seen that yet. The one thing I don't like is this, and if you've played any of the Dark Pictures games, like, you'll get these interludes where you talk to the
curator.
Yeah. There's like some tarot card reader that shows up. Like, there's interludes in between the chapters where you talk to her. And I don't know. She just doesn't seem to be adding anything to me. I'd rather just have it presented like a movie to me. Each of the chapters play through instead of these breaks where she talks to you. But I think, like, production wise, it's playing really well. Looks great. Sounds great. Music is top notch. It's up there with Until Dawn, I think, as maybe their best game. The Dark Pictures games they're a little bit rougher, but this has a 2K budget behind it, so it's also why it's, you know, double the price of the Dark Picture games, but it's good stuff. All right, that was the Xbox showcase. Quick other news: Final Fantasy VII Remake was announced. Part two.
I see. Rebirth, I think it's called.
Rebirth comes next winter.
I think they also confirmed that it's three parts. I think this is something we've discussed before, because we never knew how many parts it was. So I'm curious to see how they wrap it up in two more parts. But I mean, Square Enix, baby.
Yeah. Again, this is a PS5 only game for right now, so who knows if that'll ever hit Xbox. But what is hitting Xbox is the Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Remaster. That's coming.
Hitting everything.
It's Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Windows, and both Xboxes. That'll be out. I don't know. You guys aren't Final Fantasy players, so probably not super interested in that, but I will play that.
What is this one exactly?
So this one is a prequel to Final Fantasy VII, and you play as a minor character named Zack, who is mentioned in Final Fantasy VII, and he's actually who Cloud kind of models himself after, Cloud has amnesia or whatever, so he kind of takes on the identity of Zack and becomes like the soldier guy, and Zack is the actual guy that was in Soldier. He's mentioned in Final Fantasy VII Remake as well. Actually, you see him at one point. It's bullshit. It's Final Fantasy bullshit. It takes place mostly in Midgar, so it's like the cool steampunk sci-fi city. And you fight Final Fantasy things. It's more action oriented.
Okay, I was just about to ask if it's more action or like a RPG, right?
Yeah, it's more like a little bit more hack and slashy. Kind of plays, at least my memory of it, it plays a little bit more like Kingdom Hearts than Final Fantasy, like normal Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy VII was turn-based, but Final Fantasy VII Remake is more action-oriented, so they probably blend pretty well. And Earl mentioned Capcom had something today.
Not today, they had it recently. It was Tuesday or something like that. And it was, I will say, overall, I like the presentation that they gave. I thought it kind of had the Nintendo Direct going. It was very light and breezy. It was quick transitions. They didn't spend too long on games. The only one I would denote real quick was Dragon Dogma, because that was super weird for them to be like, it's the 10-year anniversary of Dragon's Dogma. Thank you. And then they announced the sequel, Renemy, today.
Woohoo!
People seemed to like that game.
I did not enjoy it.
You didn't like that one, Tony?
No.
I don't know why. I keep on thinking it was a game that never came out, but apparently it came out 10 years ago, so I don't know. But, in addition to that, they announced Resident Evil Village DLC, which I think they, I mean, sorry, they announced that like within a month of the game coming out, they revealed it this 13 months later. It stars Ethan's daughter, who's the main character of 7 and 8. But I think the most interesting part about it is they're adding a third person mode to Resident Evil Village. A lot of people complain.
Really?
Yeah.
That could be cool.
So, yeah, because 7 and 8 are first person games, yep. And a lot of people want it because I mean, every other Resident Evil is third person, so they're adding that. And I can't imagine that was easy to do, but kudos on them for actually doing something like that. I think that's a really amazing thing for fans. In addition to that, is getting like VR support on PlayStation. And then
is that third person at is like that free? Is that a free add-on or
yeah, okay. It's a free add-on, and then they're releasing Resident Evil Village Gold Edition. This is but they're all out in October of this year. So you get an excuse to, you know, replay that. What else did they? They showed off more of Resident Evil 4 remake, and I think people have noted, and I think rumors have said, but like it is not going to be a straight like I mean like Resident Evil 2 and 3, it's not a straight remake. It is a reimagining, I think is what they say, of Resident Evil 4. So I'm kind of curious to see what they change. It does look like they make at least the early part is it's a bit more gothic and horror esque, so maybe they'll lean more into that. And I have to imagine they'll probably update the gunplay, which is fine, but again, it's also something that is 20 years old, so 18 years old before somebody comes complaining to me that it's not 20 years yet. they showed off a new character for Street Fighter, well, an old new character for Street Fighter, I don't remember who at this point. What else did they have? They have that Capcom Arcade Collection 2. I think they're giving out just Street Fighter 2 for free. Because if you want to just play Street Fighter and not like the 50 other versions that improve on it, go for it. Yeah, I can't honestly remember. Oh, yes. The other thing is they add an update on Exo Primal. I think that's the name of the game.
The dinosaur shooter?
Yes. And it's one of those games that was a lot more interesting before they showed me more of it. Because it's a weird PvPvE type of game. It's like two squads of five fighting against each other while trying to complete objectives and missions faster than the other team. And I'm like, yeah, this just seems like a lot of a mess, and I don't get what's going on. So you kind of unsold me on a giant dinosaur action game.
And I think it's hard to do. Like, how do you fuck up dinosaurs?
Yeah, how do you screw up dinosaur co-op game with friends? But yeah, I think that was the major headlines.
Just two things I just noticed here. Aliens Fireteam Elite's getting a expansion. Also, three new missions coming for that. I really like that game. I know, Earl, you were playing it. So
we bested it this week. Really, a really fun game. I would go back to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing those three new missions. I don't know what it, I don't know if it's for free or if it's a pay or whatever, but that's coming. It comes on my birthday, August 30th. So, and then Jeff sent this into the group chat, but I didn't realize that Texas Chainsaw Massacre is going to be on Game Pass.
I didn't realize that either.
How did you send it?
I sent just the gameplay trailer, and does it say that in the trailer?
No. The news story I see here just said that it is getting added to Game Pass. So
it looks cool, like
day one on Game Pass when it comes out next year.
So what I wonder though, you know, these games that are like that, like these are guys, you know, this gun they made Friday the 13th.
Yep.
And that is one versus, what is it, like seven, eight counselors, Earl, something like that, maybe more.
It's one versus seven.
how is Texas Chainsaw going to be? Because they show the different family members, which, you know.
So many people.
Well, like, they seemingly understand Texas Chainsaw Massacre more than the people that made the new movie. But but it makes me wonder, is it still one killer? And then, like, you could just choose to be Grant, or, you know, you could be, like, what's his name that runs the gas station, or the hitchhiker?
I assume it would be closer to Dead by Daylight, but it's like a variety of killers, and each one has like their unique trait.
That's probably it, yeah. But it would be,
interesting if you would be like, you know, you have three or four people that can play the killers.
Two teams, like,
yeah.
Because I would even say with
because the other thing, like, technically, like, you could kill, like, the family is not supernatural in any way in that movie. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like,
oh, I wonder. So here's something I'm thinking. I wonder if, like, the person, so it's still one person controlling the villain, right? The killer. But I wonder if they can jump in between different characters. That could be cool.
Yeah. I just really wonder, because, which, you know, in Friday the 13th, they like made Jason like invincible. Like, you could stun him. You know what I mean? I guess you could kill him, right, Earl? Like, if you do,
it's near impossible.
Very specific set of things. Yeah.
Yes, you can kill him. It is very, because we tried it. It is a very, very, like, you.
Like, you have to have Tommy.
You have to Jarvis, have Tommy, right? You have to have a gun. You have to beat him down. You have to damage him enough that his mask falls off. You have to get the sweater from his mom's cabin. There's a lot of things that have to go right
for you to kill. You know, these guys seem to really, like, love and understand their source materials. They're not gonna make Leatherface like that. He's not immortal. He's not supernatural in any way, you know. So I don't know. I'm excited for it.
What I imagine, because you mentioned Friday the 13th, is that Friday the 13th doesn't have multiple killers, but what it does have is a variety of Jasons.
Which they did great in that, yeah.
And each Jason has unique strengths and weaknesses. Some can't go into the water. Some can run. Some can't run. Some can be knocked out. And a lot of it is very true to where he was in the movies.
Yeah.
He doesn't become supernatural until the sixth movie in the franchise.
I mean, I guess, but I don't know. He got an axe in his head and fucking part. First off, he's supernatural from the start because he drowned in the lake as a kid and came back.
Well,
so,
technically speaking, yeah. The retcon is he didn't drown in the lake. He just lived in the woods by himself.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But I don't know where we're going with this, but
no, I think they do a good job of, like, making each unique. And I do, I mean, again, like I said, Dead by Day is the same.
What thing. If they do? This seems like it's based totally off the first Texas Chainsaw, but you want to have different levels, right? So maybe it won't be. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you could play as cross dressing. Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw 4, or, you know, what I mean?
Matthew McConaughey.
Yes,
that's a possibility.
Oh man, dude,
I would also say that it could just be like, maybe you pay the cast and the group from the first movie, but you get different locations from various movies, or maybe they pick characters. I mean, again, like, based off what they did with Friday the 13th, they have a lot of OPs. I mean, OCs, I should say, but they also have a lot of characters who are pulled from, like, this character from part 3, this character from 4, this character you might not remember or care about. Like, it's not all, like, the final girls and stuff like that.
By the way, part 3, kind of underrated, in my opinion. Like, it's not good or, like, anything special, but I don't know.
Are we talking about Friday the 13th or Texas Chainsaw?
I love Friday the 13th, part 3. No, Texas Chainsaw. Okay. When I was a kid, I really liked Texas Chainsaw 3, like, a lot. Like, it might have been my favorite one, but you look at it now, it's just like, eh. But, you know, he did have, he had Ken Faree in there, and then you had Viggo Mortensen. That might have been his first movie, as the fucking like crazy guy.
Question for you guys on Friday the 13th. The Grendel was never added in as a location, right?
The who?
The ship from 10.
Oh, no, it was not. They stopped they stopped around 8, and that's when the license, because 9 and 10 are their own beast, which is why, you know, like, they're not Friday the 13th movies. They're Jason Goes to Hell and Jason X. And that's when the rights started to get really weird.
Kind of bind me, because like that really does feel like the core of the series. It's 1 through 8. Like,
well, it's funny, and I remember coming to Friday because like I feel like 1 is its own thing. 1 exists, but like I mean, because 1, everybody always is like Jason is Friday the 13th, and he's not part of. And then I think 2, 3, and 4 is this own beast. But then, like, you think of Jason, I mean, at least I do when I think of Jason, you think of this supernatural, unstoppable killer, and that, again, is not introduced until 6, and then that's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But, like, they didn't know what to do with that, because he's like that in 6, 7, and 8, and then they do whatever the hell they do in 9.
You see, they were working on the Grendel to get it into the game, and that's where the shit went bad.
They were working on a lot of stuff, and it just, yeah, it was. I feel so bad for them. I was happy that they were able to stay in business and ended up doing what they're doing with this, but I felt so bad. There's a lot of stuff. They had other Jasons they were ready to do, and they talk about all the, like there's bugs they can't even go in and fix in that game.
Sucks. You can feel the love they have for the series, though, all over that game. It's so cool.
All right, Tony, did you play anything this week? Besides Turtles.
I played a little bit of Turtles. I played a little bit of MLB The Show, but not a whole lot of time for games this week. Been a week.
And
it's been a week.
nor next week for you, but
yes, next week I'll be like working 16-hour days in a conference hall. It's great. It's awesome.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Anybody want to come with me? It's fun. I'll put you to work.
To Florida? No.
Florida in the middle of June? Come on.
In a convention hall.
Hall. Have you had COVID? Have you had your shots? Like, these are the questions.
I would go to Florida. You could drop me off at the beach.
I am so happy, guys, because I had COVID 6 weeks ago, which means I'm immune right now.
Yeah, you're good.
You're good.
I will say it's also I do find that super funny because I remember, I mean, granted we dropped work now, but I remember coming back when I was coming back from Canada is that like the rule was like you had to test negative within 24 hours of this, like, to come back into the United States, or if you had COVID in the last 3 months. I'm like, oh, that is those are two very different things, but I kind of get it. So it's like if you got COVID in like May, you are great because it means you could do whatever you want all summer. Because you are golden for 3 months of fun.
That's right. That's right. I could do anything. Anything.
Jeff, did you play anything other than Turtles?
I finished Call of Duty Vanguard.
You seem to like that.
I think, yeah. Like, it's up there for me. Honestly, it's between that and... what is it? Black Ops Cold War as probably my favorite ones. Like,
oh, nice.
Like I think they've been on a real roll with this series. Like they got the formula down. Like it's been down for a long time.
Yeah.
And besides some missteps, like what was that one? Ghosts. You know, the series is always fun. It's just it's like a preference thing. Like I like the multiplayer in this one over this one, and yeah, like. The multiplayer just fucking feels great in this one. I think it just feels like there's a ton of maps, which is, you know, it's probably been added onto. I don't know how they do it now. Like, I think it might be like just you get the maps. I don't know.
You do. They no longer sell map packs.
So there's a lot of maps. Like, there's still sometimes where I'm like,
did I play on this one yet?
Yeah, I'm like almost level 50. in the multiplayer. I know a couple of weeks ago I told you guys I was like level 37. That was totally wrong. That was what my gun level was because I've been using the same gun all along. I think I was like level 27, but now I am almost like level 50. I've played a ton of the multiplayer.
That is what's kind of crazy about those games, though, because like not only does your character level up,
I think
you get like special perks too, right? Like,
On your guns. On
that, and then your guns like, also level up. And
there's tons of attachments on your guns where you're constantly unlocking. And I just, that's the thing that like varies a little bit between each of them is like how all that shit works. I really just love the way they did it in this one. Like right off the bat, I had this little mini remote tank as this field upgrade that would just like every 2 minutes, like whatever you get. And I have not moved on from that. Like I've unlocked a bunch of other stuff. I'm like, none of this sounds cooler than I can roll a tank up on some a group of guys and they can't do shit. Like they see me and they start running away. but yeah. And the single player was probably not quite as good as Black Ops Cold War, but there's still like so many cool, like, for one, just, I like first-person shooter set in World War II. It just feels classic. Like it feels, and just, like, you know, there's one, like, you play as different characters throughout the campaign, and they kind of all come together in the last mission, and then you, like, in the last mission, you, like, are, like, hopping between them. Like, the one mission where, like, every time I was killing, like, the whole mission was, like, try to, like, sneak around this facility and fucking kill everybody, like, silently. Every time I was killing someone, the character I'm playing as, she was just, like, fucking Nazi. I just loved that. I don't know, it was great. And there was one, I think I, like, posted a clip of it, there's, like, a cool, like, you know, air combat mission where you're flying around, and you're like dive bombing these carriers. It's really cool. Like it'll be like also it'll be like hit X to dive bomb and you'll fucking close up your plane and fucking just dive through. All of a sudden you break through clouds, you see the carrier below you and you fucking blow it up. I don't know, dude. Like very fun. It does, I'd say the last couple missions are a little more standard, just keep pushing forward shooting stuff, but they do there is some variety throughout that campaign. I don't know, man. Like I said, it's that and Cold War. If you guys have not played either of those and you like Call of Duty at all, I'd say check them out. This one goes on sale all the time too.
Oh really? Because normally they're like not on sale, so that's good.
Like it goes on sale for half off, which is like still $35.
Right.
But I don't know. I feel like Call of Duty, even as a $70 game, like I'm probably gonna get the new one. Because I feel like you do get your money's worth out of those games. Like the campaign, it's not super long, but like this one was like 9 missions, but some of those missions, I swear to God, felt like they were like an hour and a half, 2 hours long. Like some of the missions were super long.
Wish that they'd go back to what was it, Spec Ops?
It was kind of like a wave based thing. Like
instead of zombies, I wish they had like the mission based Spec Ops stuff.
Yeah, I did mention I thought the zombies mode in this is like, I've never been into zombies, so I don't know if it's like a simple, like, I just don't get it. But like this, I played it and I was really bored. Like I wanted to leave and I think I did leave eventually. Like I was just like, you guys keep going, have fun. Like this sucks. But between the campaign and the multiplayer, I've probably played at least 30 hours of this game. And so I feel like I can get my money's worth out of their games. And yeah, you know, they're top-notch production values. This game, parts of the campaign, like there's moments of the campaign where the lighting and stuff really looks incredible, you know. So I don't know. It's you own it, don't you? You
should. I do. Give it a shot. Should and it's installed too. I should just pop it in and actually play. Anything else besides Call of Duty?
Minecraft. I mean, you want to hear about the game from over 10 years ago?
What's Minecraft? Can you tell me about it?
It's hard. We already kind of touched on it. Like, I just... It's so neat. Like, every time I try, like, start playing it, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then I just end up just digging deeper and deeper tunnels. And then the tunnel will open up on an area, like, underground, like an underground fucking cave that is just filled with fucking enemies that kill me. And they kill me in the water. And it's so hard for me to get my shit back. And fuck that game. So, that's Minecraft.
Well, you play anything else besides Turtles?
I have been busy, but like I mentioned in passing, we finished up Alien Fire Teammate yesterday, and then we tried out the Horde mode. That's yep. interesting. I think it's, I think we had fun. I think it once you kind of get the hang of it, I'm curious to see, because right now I think we tried it like 3 times and it was the same map. I'm hoping that like as you progress, they open up more maps and stuff like that. I mentioned Nobody Saves the World. What else have I tried? I played something else recently. I don't know. And I guess I have not done my update with the... I don't think I've talked about the Fortnite new season. Vibin, as they say, which is... pretty much the same as last season. This season's big thing is you can plant what they call reality seeds, and that will grow into, like, you can stop by and it will dispense certain types of weapons. So, like, if you let it grow, like, it will just give you, like, rare weapons instead of your weapons. And, like, maybe every 24 hours or so it goes up. So today I was able to harvest my first mythical weapon. And then once I harvest my mystical weapon, my damn tree died. So that's no fun. Other than that, I think they also have a baller, which I was told is something that was from an older game as well. And then, yeah, I have just been crazy this week. So hopefully this weekend I get time to... I think Chris is going to talk about this, and I'm curious to hear. But I do still want to pick up Mario Strikers. Though I'm hearing... Well, Chris, tell us about Mario Strikers.
So one, I like base gameplay. Mario Strikers is really fun. But that's all there is to that game. Like there's no campaign. There's like cups you can play, but there's no like dedicated single player portion to it. So it's basically like play with other people, online or play with other people locally. Because like the single player option of it is super limited.
See, that would be enough for me with like Mario Golf. Like to me, like with Mario Golf, I was just trying to get through that to like get everything or whatever, you know. Like,
yeah, I mean, you have everything from the get go. Like, there's no getting anything in this.
I just not into soccer enough that I
would it's watch. It's really like, cool. Like
$60 too, right?
Yeah, it's $60. Gameplay wise, it's fun. Like it is really cool. It's a kind of like 3/4 view at side of like a side of the soccer field. You know, you pick your team of 4 and you know, they all play differently. So like, you know, if you have Bowser, he's slower, but he's also super powerful. So if you get anywhere close to him, he'll knock you over.
It's like ice hockey from the original.
Yeah, yes. Kind of like that, right? So like Peach is super fast, but she's also like, you can blow her over like real easy. Where like Mario is more, he's more, you know, versatile because he's not as fast as Peach, but he's tougher than her, so you're not knocking him off the ball as easily, and he can tackle you and knock you off the ball. He can take the ball from Bowser. That's where Peach kind of just bounces off of him. There's an extensive tutorial to kind of teach you everything on how to play, but like once you learn like the different passing and shooting combos and it's like a special kick that if you touch like this ball, like you can do like a super strike, which gives you like a neat animation. That's all fun. I just wish there was,
you know, more like meat on the bones.
Yeah, like golf and tennis both had like dedicated, like they maybe weren't great campaigns, but there was something there.
Yeah, tennis had a full like map you were going through, right? Like doing
a story. This is just a menu. It's like, do you want to play this cup? Like, and it's not even like a nice menu. It's just like
that should be. I understand that like they put production values and stuff in this, but that should be like $40, right? Like, right? Am I like crazy? Like,
it's also weird because I feel like one of the big things with this one in particular, like what they were selling, as far, if I understand it correctly, it's not actually at Entre, it doesn't work as well. It's the Battle League, which was like you can create a soccer club, which is essentially kind of like not an online tournament, but kind of like a soccer season. Like you would go with like, I don't know, a bunch of friends. You'd play matches against each other. You'd get points and rankings and stuff like that. And like, that's nifty. But it was like, as far as I know, that actually does not start until next week.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was live when I played it. It's just unfortunate because it's like this thing that should be the big focus of it's not there. You don't really have a single player campaign, so you're just playing. It's just like quick play matches, right? Like,
yeah, it's fun, but you're like, all right, not working. Like, if I feel like playing a game, I guess I can play a game,
right? And it's like
none of us have it. You can't play us, like,
right? And going online, like the problem with that is like there are people that like they just play a ton of games of this game in particular, right? Like they've already mastered it. They know how to kind of manipulate, just like playing any sports game online, like. They figured out how to
win. You know, I thought, Earl, I thought this was like your game.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
No, I mean, to be fair, the reason I did not get it, as I have
made. You had to buy all six versions of Ninja Turtles?
Well, no, it wasn't even that. It was, I mean, honestly, up until like this afternoon, we've been so headstrong and producing our gala this year that I just knew I wouldn't have time for it. I didn't get home until like midnight on Tuesday. I was pretty much dead to the world just today. And then like now everything's kind of keen up from that event. So I knew I would not have time for it. So I didn't want to buy a game that I knew I wasn't going to play. Like, Turtles is different. I mean, I've only played a little bit of it and I was still mad that I didn't even get to play too much of it this morning. But yeah, I still want to get it. I still probably will get it. But yeah, it sounds like the fundamentals are fine. It's just and to be fair, I don't even remember the first one that much. I think you had tournaments and you can unlock additional characters. There was that really random ass, I think there was like a robot you can unlock and I think different stadiums. And I think that's just, and it's not a ton of options for anything. Like even, I think the stadiums, like, they had that weird gimmick where it's like you can create half the stadium and your opponent creates half the stadium, but it's still kind of the same options.
Yeah, and it doesn't like, and it doesn't really do anything, right? Like, so it's just like the other half, like, you know, if you're playing Bowser's team, his half of the stadium looks like, you know, the fire levels. And then if, you know, Peach's half of the stadium, it looks like the Mushroom Kingdom and it's smacked together in the middle. And it's like, it's visually neat, but it doesn't add anything to the game.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day with a sports game, like the most important thing is that it's a fun game to play. Cause like, that's the longevity of it. But like,
yeah,
it just, to me, it feels,
I wish
wrong.
There was a little There's more not much there. I wish there was a little more to it. Like, I'll have fun playing it with my kids. Like,
yeah. And the other thing, and I from the demo I saw, it's like the other big thing is like the gear, but the gear doesn't seem like it changes stuff too radically. And it's not like you get different, like everybody has a set gear they get. Like, there are like three things in each category for like Luigi and Mario. It's not like, oh man, you're gonna find like this really random ass like pair of shorts that give Luigi like high defense or something like that. Right. It's like, no, he's gonna stick within this parameter. It's like one thing goes up, one thing goes down.
Right. So you can't have like a character being overbalanced like one way.
Like you can't have a Bowser who's a natural brute and then like give him like super speed.
Right. Because that could be awesome. But yeah. just wouldn't work. But yeah, like a base gameplay, I think is the fundamentals of the gameplay are great, and it's fun. It's just I wish there was a little bit more to it. Maybe like when my son gets back from his trip, we'll play a bunch of it. But right now, it's like I'm just playing by myself, and it's like, there are other things I could be playing.
To me, like when I want to play a soccer game, like Rocket League does soccer exactly how I love it. Like that to me is super exciting and it's free. So
that thing throws me off. For I've been playing that with friends, and I'm still just kind of wrapping my head around the movement. It's not the movement so much; it's the fact that you have to think in a three-dimensional space, and a lot of games don't have you think vertically.
A lot of anticipation of where things are heading. You know,
I play with friends, and like one friend he won't say it, but he is competitive, and he's like, "Oh, we got to start playing rank mode so we can start ranking." And I'm like, we win casual games. I don't even think we win casual that often. But he's like, we got to play ranked games. So we played ranked games this week. And I swear, there were people, like, they just had this gelling. Like, there would be people who would, like, drive up the side of the wall to ride with the ball. And then, like, come down with it into the net. And I'm just like, I don't know what's going on. But like,
I love when I accidentally get that to happen. It's like, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
No, like these people were insane. Like it would be like, one person would like they would pass because like I'm really bad at this game. I'm not gonna like use words, but like you see them like somehow get enough control of the ball to like be able to pass it in midair. Second, like, a teammate who's like driving in at an angle that's gonna push it right into the goal. I'm like, I hate you, but I'm really impressed.
There are people that are really good at working together in that game, and I'm just like, I just want to hit the ball.
I like playing soccer from like that angle, if that makes any sense. Like that, like on the field,
underneath the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's Rocket League's great.
It's just.
Yeah, and Strikers is a very different take on it. I mean, it's still an arcade.
Yeah.
You know, version of soccer, but it's that side view and you're controlling each of the different characters. So real quick, I finished Chocobo GP. When I first played it, I was like, I don't know, not really digging this, but I came around on it. I really kind of like it, especially the online multiplayer. The way they have that set up is really neat. So you select Chocobo GP, which is their multiplayer mode, and it puts you in with 64 other players, and then splits you off into groups of 8, and then you each have a race, and the top 4 in each of the races then move on. So it basically becomes like a big racing tournament, and it keeps going until... You know, there's 4 rounds, 64 to 32, 32 to 16, 16 to 8. And then whoever wins the final race of 8 is like the grand champion. And that it is fun. It is really cool. Like, you know, you're like, oh, I'm in 5th. And like, you're just trying to like get to the finish line to get into 4th so that you can move on and get another chance to race. Really cool. Really well done. I bought the season pass because they gave me enough of the currency to do that. And they've fixed that game since launch. Like the season pass is easily doable now within like a week or two. I think there's still like 2 months left on it. They fixed that game. It's fun. I know you guys probably aren't going to go out and play a Final Fantasy kart racer, but if it ever hits,
sign sale, me up. Like, God damn it, I want to be out there.
Are you gonna get that Disney? Isn't there like a Disney kart racer?
Is there a Disney racer coming? I would play that.
I thought so.
There is. It's a free to play game. It's in beta now on PC, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I'll play that.
I'll play any kart racer.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Final thing before we close this out, played some Diablo Immortal. That is the free to play. It's on PC, but I played it on my phone. That's a Diablo-ass Diablo game. And it's pretty good at it.
I just can't do that. Can't allow it.
I mean, it works. I don't know. Like, so I'm just playing through it. It plays like Diablo, yeah, right? Like, here's a mission. Go do this. Find this on the map and, you know, do these sequence of things. Kill the person. Go talk to the blacksmith. That type of shit. So it's pretty linear. It's like pretty standard Diablo type take. It looks great. It feels good, which I didn't think I would like. I was like, I'm going to have to play this on PC. Play it with mouse and keyboard because there's no way it's going to feel right on my phone. But it actually does. Like they've set up the display so it works real well. Your skills are all on the left-hand side. You can hit them with your thumb. And your other thumb, your left thumb, is used to just move the character around. I do hear that, like, the end game stuff is, because, like, that's where it's like, oh, you keep coming back, you keep playing over and over again, and, you know, you get your Paragon levels, and like, that's where it becomes very, like, cosmetic heavy. Like, you want to get this set because it looks cool. That seems to be problematic here, like, and it's costly, but what I'm playing right now, it's just a free Diablo, and it's very good. They should bring that shit to consoles.
Yeah, I just don't like playing games on my phone. I just don't.
I get it. I played it at work today.
Yeah,
at my desk.
But if it were on console, I would play it, and I would deal with all the stupid bullshit that might go along with it being free to play. But yeah,
like it doesn't feel bad. Like the free to play stuff at this point doesn't feel exploitative. I'm only in like I played it for about 2 hours. Like yeah. Diablo games, like if it's anything like Diablo 3, like to complete the actual main quest, like 20 hours.
Yeah.
So we'll see how I feel about it when I hit level like 10 hours in and I'm level 50. Maybe then it starts being a pain in the ass. But right now it feels good and plays like I expect it to play.
I would take it as in between. If they let me play it on my TV.
Yeah, I do not understand why they did not bring it to Switch and Xbox and PlayStation. Like, doesn't make any sense. You release this, get people. Maybe it's like they don't want to release it on there because then you'll be Diablo'd out by the time Diablo 4 comes. But
yeah, but that's gonna be Breath of Diablo, so it's totally different.
Yep, very totally different. It's gonna be a completely new experience.
the fourth Diablo. All right. Well, we will not be back next week. We are taking next week off.
I'm gonna be riding the ducks.
That's euphemism. Oh,
maybe not the way to word that. Jeff will be on vacation. Tony is working like 36 hours in a row with a 5-minute break before he has to do it again. So Earl and I are just gonna like not do that, and we'll enjoy our week off. And then the week after, when we do return, which will be, I think that episode will be July 2nd, we're going to do our first half of our Hall of Fame inductions. So
maybe some Elden Ring talk when we get back.
Nope.
I mean, if you have anything new you need to say on Elden Ring, Jeff.
I'm just still trying to get you guys to get
when it hits game.
You keep trying. I don't think any of us are going to fight you on it.
It's not coming to Game Pass, and I don't think it's going to be going on sale.
I mean, it will, like, probably go on sale November.
It'll be on sale before we do Game of the Year. Don't worry, Jeff. I'm going to pick it up for $20 and be like, I hate this game. It sucks.
I will not.
Either of those things will happen.
I will say
I don't think it'll be for $20. I don't think I'll hate it.
I'll say this much for Elden Ring. We got MPDs this week. And the fact for a Rolling 12 months, so the previous 12 months, which I guess would be from June of 2021 to now, Elden Ring has outsold the newest Call of Duty and two Pokemon games, which is not a easy feat for any game.
Oh, that's I'm surprised to hear you say that.
I will say, if we were voting, if we were having our Game of the Year discussions today, I would not fight Jeff on his placement of Elden Ring. Like,
I really hope I haven't played my Game of the Year yet. I really hope.
You guys would just give it to me out of just like, all right, well, there wasn't.
I don't think I could. I think, just like Chris, I don't think I could fight you, because I'm like, I can't pick any of the games I picked this year. And there's not a single one I'm like, this is a great game.
It's all I haven't played Elden Ring, but it sounds better than what I've played.
I mean, like, look, I mean, we play good games, like, I mean. But I don't think any of us would have an argument to be like, yes, this definitely tops loved.
It's so you guys will see. Anyway,
we will be back in 2 weeks. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.